I mean, just accept the fact that you have a mission. You have a call to live where you are and to shine as a child of God where you are.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, March 31st, 2024, Resurrection Sunday. Today, Pastor Zony is speaking. His message is entitled, The Three Gifts of Easter. And our text comes to us from John chapter 20, verses 19 through 23. And now here's Pastor Zony.
Well, good morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, and nothing gives me greater pleasure and joy than to be in church on Easter. Easter is a very special activity of the church. As a matter of fact, the church celebrated Easter every single day because they always were speaking about the importance of the resurrected Christ and the impact that it made in their lives and the impact that is made in our lives today. So I was reviewing my notes on Easter, and I came across the fact that I preached on this text like four times, but none of you remember that. And so I went back and reshuffled some stuff, and then I find out that in reality, this is, of all the stories of Easter, this is my favorite one, because it's so appropriate for the times in which we're living, and it fits so well in our context. So let's look to John chapter 20, and as a matter of fact, it was kind of funny this morning. Jen asked me what is the text for. She could put it in the screen, and I just said chapter 20, but I wrote chapter 10. And so when I went back to look what chapter 10 was, which is the wrong scripture, you should remember this, because this almost got on the screen. It didn't get in the screen. I'll read it to you. What almost went to the screen on Easter Sunday. And on chapter 10 of John, it says, at these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, he's demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? And others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Can you imagine reading that for an Easter morning service? No, it's John 20, verses 19 through 23. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. And verse 24 is an important one. It says, now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples. So when Jesus came, so the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. This whole passage is so human then as it is today. In this last Friday, we saw Jesus giving his life for you and for me. And we saw that he accomplished everything that the Lord had asked him to do. And he did. And he said, it is finished. And he paid the price for all of our sins. And everything that needed to be done for redemption was done, except for one more thing. And that was that he was to come out of the grave. There was one more act, one more event that needed to come, so that we could all understand what Christ did for us on the cross, and that is that he rose from the dead. And that's where we pick up on chapter 20, the story that Jesus appears to the disciples for the very first time. And where were the disciples? They were locked up behind the door, and specifically locked for fear of the Jews. They were afraid that what happened to Christ would happen to them. And so they were running away from what I think is a very natural thing. And yet, at the same time, Jesus had been with them all these years. They should have known something more But let's not blame them too much, because they were afraid and they were in behind the locked doors. And then all of a sudden, without Jesus knocking on the door, without saying, "Excuse me, can I come in?" he pops in, uninvited, certainly not knowing the disciples that that was going to happen. Jesus just shows up. They were not praying for Jesus to come. They had no spiritual conditions that warranted Christ's presence there. That is to say, they were not calling on God. He just showed up. He just popped in. And of course, we have the whole story, and so we know. But if you come to think of it, how many times have you yourself been locked up in your own fears? How many times have you and I gone through issues in life that we think we're totally alone? And we don't even think of Jesus. We it's irrelevant. We just try to see how in the world can we escape the Jews, figure of speech, that are persecuting us, the problems that are around us, the difficulties that we can't seem to solve. And we enclose ourselves in our problems and we lock and we stay there. But Jesus is not asking for permission. He pops into your life today. He shows up and he doesn't say, "You coward." He doesn't say, "You infidel." He doesn't say, "You're ignorant." He doesn't put you down. He does incredible things. And in that short visit, Jesus gave the disciples three things of which we're going to look at this morning. The very first thing he gives to you and to me is the word peace. Jesus comes into your life and into your situation and speaks peace. And peace is not just a greeting. It's a lot more than just a greeting. It really means perfection, absence of strain. It means completeness. God wishes for you and I to have this peace that surpasses understanding. Of course, the disciples were afraid. Of course, they were confused. Of course, it was the first resurrection ever. That never happened before. But Jesus' greeting is a lot more than just a nice Jewish greeting. Before he went to the cross and died, he had said to them, John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives." It's a different kind of peace. "Not as the world gives." Think of that. "I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." There's a completeness that comes with the Lord's peace to your heart to settle all the issues that you are struggling with right this very morning, right this very day. Those things that are bugging you and eating you up, those conflicts that you have, as minute and insignificant as other people think they are, they're not to you. And the Lord gets in there and says, "Peace." Not like the world gives, not the solutions that are cheap and fast and furiously wrong. He gives a peace that is lasting. It resolves the issues that have caused this anxiety inside of you. Again, in John 16:33, he says, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace." In the world, he says, you're going to have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. We live in a world of tribulation. I don't think a day goes by, maybe I should say an hour goes by, that you don't hear some newscast saying that the end of the world is here. And some people with supposedly great authority, geniuses on their own mind, they tell us how everything's going to come to the end and how things are wrong. And you know, there's a lot of wrong things, and the world is a time of tribulation. But when we come to Christ, there's a steadiness. There is a balance that he brings to you that puts everything in perspective. And all of a sudden, it's not so much because Jesus says peace to you. He speaks peace to you. In that dark closet that you're keeping, in that dark room that you're keeping, in that struggle that you're having, in that dispute that you're going through, he speaks to that. And he wants you to have peace in those areas. It's an all-embracing term, brothers, unqualifying well-being, that all of a sudden God's peace is such that you're no longer struggling. Somehow, some way, You don't understand it because it goes beyond your understanding, but there's a level of peace about what's going on in your life that the only way you can make heads of sense out of it is that God must have been involved somehow, some way. He calms the word, the waters. He calms the fears. That's the Lord I know. I've seen this happen in my own life, as I'm sure you've experienced it in your life, that in the midst of a crisis, in the midst of something going wrong, something went right, that's the risen Christ. The disciples would not have received that peace unless he had risen from the dead. So proof of Christ in your heart is peace in times of trouble. He gives you peace. And if you don't have peace today, you need to ask for that peace. Actually, you need to receive that peace. Lord, I receive your peace. And let him work it through. The amazing thing about God's peace is that sometimes, maybe most of the times, he does not take away the issues that are causing strain. He just gives you peace in the midst of the issue. So you need to look for God giving you peace. You need to see his peace working in your heart. Some things will never be resolved by your own strength in this world. You can't. But in the midst of the problems, the Lord somehow, some way, stabilizes you. And you have peace that surpasses all understanding. Well, there are different types of peace, you know. Peace between yourself and Jesus. When all of a sudden you know that he's not your enemy, he's not condemning you. That's an important aspect. That Jesus is not after you. He's there to help you, to love you. Peace between yourself and God. Did you know God is not your enemy this morning? He's your friend. Yeah. How about peace between ourselves, among ourselves? Sometimes the worst battles are between ourselves. You know, I won't say husband against wife, because I don't know what that is, because we've never had any arguments ever in our lives. But there are some moments in our marriages that it gets kind of rough. And so you need to say, Lord, give me peace. And then the Lord gives you peace. And then you'll always have to say, she was right, I was wrong. But you'll never admit that. But somehow, some way, God speaks to your marriage. What about children? Oh, my goodness. I am so glad we're done with children. Whew. Horrible. Well, I should say horrible. Very hard. But for us, it's a complete new set of values, a complete new stage. It's a complete new panoramic view of what life should never be like, and it is. But that's you, parents. You got a responsibility. God can give you peace over your children. And that's a tough one. At least from our view, I think children, the only thing they know if it happens is because they were looking at that phone. That crazy thing that just drives them. I got grandkids, and they're fantastic. They're the predictors of the future. That's why I pray a lot for you. And, you know, and it's nothing wrong. It's the way they are. It's the way it's. So you need to have peace in your heart that God is overseeing that generational shift. That God's involved. Peace between us brothers and sisters in the Lord. And how about peace in your own soul? What about your guilt conscience? Sometimes we live with guilt in our lives. Let me just tell you that guilt is the worst expression of anxiety. But let me tell you, it is also useless, because all the guilt in the world can never change back what happened. You need God's peace to let you know that he's taking care of it for you. Yeah, guilty consciences. I know people who live with guilty consciences and they can't shake it up. Jesus can give you peace. You know that ridiculous thing you did, such a, he can give you peace over it. I know what you had done, you should not have done, but now you come to Christ, and in the closet, in the room, in your despair, the first thing he says is, you really blew it, didn't you? No, he says, peace. He wants you to have peace, wholesomeness in your life. And what about the rest of the world? The whole world needs peace, and only God's peace can rule this world. But don't worry about the whole world. Just be concerned about yourself. Just be concerned about your marriage, about your children, about your job situation. about things that really impact and matter you. Let the word peace come. Let those fears of conscience, let them be settled. Let the Lord just work in your heart. Because the Lord's heart wanted to give his disciples peace. And so he says, peace. So will you receive his peace this morning? And will you say, Lord, give me peace, and thank you, Lord? Yes, Lord. Thank you for giving me peace. So we move on this morning because of something else, and that is that Jesus gave the disciples something else. He gave the disciples a mission, a commission. He said in verse 21, Jesus said to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Now this is absolutely, totally remarkable. That he would commission that bunch of, what's the word for it? Scary cats. Guilt-ridden. I mean, they left the Lord. They walked away. They were taking him to the cross. Jesus stumbled, who could not carry his own cross, so they needed to look for somebody to help and carry the cross. And they got, there was none of his disciples around there that could have helped him. Oh, they were away. Cyrus is the one that came to his aid and helped him carry the cross. And yet to this bunch of people, he says, as the Father sent me, so I send you. I want you to know, he says, that there's a purpose for your life. And that purpose is for you to carry on the mission that I have begun. They tell us that purpose in life is very important. Social scientists today will have discovered in the past and continue to approve and embrace the concept that we all need meaning and we all need a purpose, a sense of mission in life. Because that's more than needed to be fulfilled in life. And it's more than just mere transitory happiness. A purpose in life gets us up in the morning and causes us to move on. Jesus is speaking about something that is completely overwhelmingly strong, and not only overwhelmingly strong, but powerful, in that when you wake up in the morning and you go to sleep at night, you review your mission and commission to the Lord. So God is on a mission for this whole world to know Jesus Christ. And Jesus eloquently said in John 3:16 that he came, that anybody who will believe on him would have eternal life. He speaks about a life free of slavery, of dominion by the enemy of the world. As the Father sent me, so I send you. There's a sending of God somewhere from where you are to where you need to go. I don't know where God is sending you, but there is a mission for you. There's a purpose for you. There is something in your life. You're not completed yet, your time here. There's a purpose. You need to fulfill that purpose. You need to say, this is why I was born. This is the purpose of my life. This is what I'm going to do. Jesus sends his disciples to live a mission in the world. I want you to go into the world just like the Father sent me. And the world was hostile to Christ. So the Lord is not sending you to an easy place. And your commission and your mission from God is not an easy one, but it's one that you can do. It's one that he's commissioned you to actually put together. You need to enter the world as Jesus did. Hostile issues. Life is not easy. Whoever said it was going to be easy. But to that life, you need to carry the mission of Christ in your heart, simply saying to people, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Very clearly in verse 23, Jesus says, if you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven them. And if you would hold forgiveness from any, it's withheld. What it means is that you represent Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. And you, is your duty to say to them, Jesus is your Savior. Jesus is the one who saves you from your sins and guarantees a life here on this planet with peace. You're actually becoming the voice of God to a world in trouble. Now, what if you don't do this? Then people won't get saved. People will not see the light. People will not move from where they are in their sins and in their difficulties of life. They won't find an answer. They will stay in a world of tribulation. How many people at work need to hear your witness, your testimony? How many people in your home and your relatives need to hear that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? If you speak to them the truth, then they have an opportunity to come to know the truth, which is Jesus Christ. And you do this in two different ways. You do it by speaking, but you also do it by living. You have to live the life. You have to be a witness of Christ. And as you continue to look through the New Testament, you see how the disciples gave their life for the message that they had been commissioned. So we get to announce the gospel. We need to speak about the gospel. We need to announce the gospel everywhere we are. And that way is what we allow people to see the gospel and the purpose of salvation. So this purpose, sense of purpose in your life and my life, I wonder if you have a sense of purpose in your life. If you don't have one, Jesus wants you to have one. And the purpose is the one that he assigns to you. The one that most of us have lived in life today. Those of us who follow the Lord. And it could be anywhere. And let me just tell you, you don't need to be a missionary to China to be a servant of the Lord, or to South America, or to Africa. You are a missionary to your own city, your own neighborhood. You need to have that neighborhood of yours know that you live for God. You have to know that. You and I are missionaries wherever we may find ourselves. You and I have a purpose where we live. Where you live, you have a purpose. That's your mission field. That's where God calls you to. Not that difficult to see. But of course, some of us would like to be more dramatic and go somewhere else in the world feeling like that makes difference. No, where you are, God called you where you are, and you need to understand that. He gives you peace. And then secondly, he sends you as a missionary. He gives you a sense of call. Now, don't argue too much with me. You don't have to argue with me at all. As a matter of fact, I don't want to hear you. But if the Lord gives you peace, and he does, because he doesn't lie, then you have peace. In other words, you have ways of settling the issues that are so contentiously frightening. You can receive his peace. But then secondly, you have to get going. You got to go somewhere. I was going to say, when you have to go, you have to go. Qué serios que están todos ustedes aquí. Yo creo que me voy a dar por vencido y voy a predicar solamente en español. That's a threat. So don't tell me. I mean, just accept the fact that you have a mission. You have a call to live where you are and to shine as a child of God where you are and to live, let people know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But, of course, you say, I'm incompetent. I understand incompetency. Believe me, I do understand what that is. But here is something else. Jesus does not just give you peace and commission. He gives you the power to do it. Because the third thing he does is he gives them the Holy Spirit. Ah, now you're really on the hook. Because you could have said, well, you know, I don't know how to speak. I don't know how to do it. And all of that may be right. But if he sends you, he must send you because he knows you can do it. And the reason you know, he knows you can do it is because he says, just in those few verses, verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. You know, there's a lot of us who are very good at doing things. I know people who are incredibly gifted in organizing. And I'm sometimes jealous of how quickly they can organize something. And then I also see that I've seen that in many cases the organization falls short and doesn't get done right. And they blame everybody except the person who put it together because that's the way that it goes. But there are churches like that too that have great organizing plans, and yet at the end of the organization, you know, the fruits are very meager. And the reason is that you cannot just do it with a structure. You cannot just have a good organizational plan. You have to have the Holy Spirit working in your life because this is holy work. What you're doing is something that comes from God to the world. So the Holy Spirit is given to you and to me. The moment you come to Christ, the Spirit of God comes into your life. You're there. And you need to rely on the Lord to guide you and to give you the strength. He gives you the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, you have a right to say, I'm out, I'm gone. But no, you're not out, because the Lord, in a wonderful way, has given you the ability to work like He worked. He said, greater works that I do, you will do. It's an amazing situation here where God calls you to do amazing things in life. But you do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. And you and I are just like Christ when He came to this world, except without sin. And Christ relied on the Holy Spirit for everything He did. It's a mystery in some ways, and yet it's understandable in Scripture that that's exactly what happened. The Holy Spirit worked with Christ, and Christ depended on the Holy Spirit. And you and I need to depend on the Holy Spirit to guide us as we fulfill our purpose and mission in life. So this is not out of my own strength. It's not my own ability to do certain things. It's God working in my life and relying on Him. So the Lord says, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to give you a helper. I'm going to send a helper. And the Holy Spirit was the Holy Spirit. And He's there. And so as we enter our tasks, our mission, we need to say, now that the Lord, the Holy Spirit lives in my life, the Lord is in my Savior, He will empower me to do this. And I am not trusting on my own abilities, but on the ability of the Holy Spirit for me to witness at school. I believe that everyone who teaches, every Christian who teaches, especially in the public school system, is a missionary. And I say that, and Brian was one of those missionaries to his school, and so is Yvette, so is Yvonne, and so many others who minister to people doing their thing, but they do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. I know some of you are electricians, some of you may be plumbers, which, by the way, I need one, but that's another thing. And you do your work, but the Spirit of God is enabling you to do the work. Think of your profession, and then look at the Lord helping you do a better job. See Him working with you. Some of you are retired. Ask the Lord, what will you have me do now that I'm retired? That's a whole life. Because if your heart is still ticking, you're still breathing, you're still responsible for a mission to fulfill. What am I to do? And you come to the Holy Spirit in the sense that He empowers you to do what you yourself alone can never, ever hope to do. Que silencio. But John 20 is Jesus rose from the dead, and He comes to His disciples and shuts the daylights out of them. And the Easter message for you and for me is exactly this. He rose from the dead, and He appears in the midst of our fears, in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our confusion, in the midst of our question marks. He appears where we are. He appears where there are no answers. He appears where it's nasty and bad. He appears in the depths of the worst. And He doesn't put you down. He speaks peace. For He wills for you to have peace. What will be your next step in life? What are you going to be doing after this service? What are you going to be doing next week and the week after that? Let the peace of God rule your heart. Don't let the things around you shake you. Listen to the voice of Jesus as He speaks peace over you. But be prepared to receive a mission. Because, let me just say this, it's a threat. There is peace, but it comes with a mission. And if you don't take up the mission, you will not have peace. This is when I should quit and go home. But that's absolutely true. Because part of the deal is that we become His disciples, followers of Him. It's a very interesting book that I'm reading today. It deals with does it, can you actually be a Christian saved? But when you look at the Lordship of Christ, you say, no, He's my Savior, but He's not my Lord. And the more that I read into that text, no way, Jose. I'm sorry if anybody's name here is Jose, but no way. You cannot declare yourself to be a follower of Christ unless you are a follower of Christ, a disciple of Christ. Very serious stuff. So we're talking about peace in your heart, but also obedience in fulfilling the mission he's given you. I mean, what are the options? You keep struggling and you huddle in a small room, afraid of the Jews, afraid of what may happen to you. Or you receive the words of Christ and receive peace, and then you receive the enablement of understanding that there's purpose in your life. And now you receive the Holy Spirit so he can empower you to do it. That's your life. That's my life. Not on my own. He's the one that guides. So Jesus had a heart to give us peace. A heart to give us a mission. And he gives us the Holy Spirit. It's amazing the setup that God has prepared for his children. It's amazing. It's we can't fail. It was yesterday in class. We had a group of doctoral students at the university, and I was leaving the classroom, leaving them to talk and discuss among themselves whatever was going on. And one of the students pulls me out. He drives all the way from Las Vegas to get his he's getting his doctorate. He says, I need to talk to you. I said, yeah, what? Remember, and when they say remember, I suffer. It's a real test, you know. Remember, you know. I remember when I got up this morning, you know. But I'm of course joking, because I do have a very good mind. I remember some of you promised me things you've never delivered, but that's okay. I forgive you. He says, remember when 3 years ago? 3 years ago. I mean, that's a task right there. I mean, I tried to remember last Sunday's sermon, but anyway, and I preached it. Anyway, he says. But that's like being like that for me forever. Esther, are you here? Yeah, she's there. But I kept confusing her. Esther and Gloria and I don't know who else. Becky. But here's the point. I said, I don't wait. Well, it says, my son was here. And you talked to him. I said, I'm in trouble now. And he said, and you told him, God has a plan for your life. And, you know, that was like mostly a general statement that I would make. And he says, and you know, when you said that to him, he felt God. And so he went back to his church in Vegas, and that's what his church is, and he began to talk. Well, to make the long story short, he has 22 students that are now attending Azusa Pacific because of that one statement that I made. Now, it wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit. And you and I spread seeds all over the place by being guided and by saying the words that the Lord puts in our lips to speak. Don't expect immediate results, but expect results in that day when you will see him. So you and I have God's peace. And the reason is because you're in such a trouble and such a mess. He comes and gives you peace. Then he gives you peace, he gives you a mission. And after he gives you a mission, he gives you the Holy Spirit that you can go and do it in the power and the strength of the Lord. The early church, that's how they did it, the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God added people who were needed to be part of the church. Signs, miracles, and wonders happened because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Men who had received the peace of God and men who had received a mission from God. And men who had received the Holy Spirit, and they were willing to be vessels to be used for the glory of the Lord. So that's the Easter message. Get some peace going. Catch the mission. And let the Spirit of God work in your life and see the glory of God in your heart and life. Shall we pray? So Lord, this Sunday morning we thank you because we have received your peace. We thank you, Lord, that we can live on mission. We thank you, Lord, that the Spirit, your Holy Spirit, can come upon our lives and us for your glory. And it happens to be that our joy is your joy, and the good that we have is your good, and the world is blessed. Thank you, Lord, that you sent Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you rose. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you've come to us. So, Lord, if it's not clear, may this Sunday morning bring peace to the troubled heart and mind, to the troubled circumstances in which we may find ourselves in, that all those question marks may be rendered silent and answered. I pray, Lord, that as we see you working in our lives, we can catch a glimpse of that mission to represent you everywhere we go, knowing that if we don't speak the word, people will not know you, Lord. And Lord, thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that can really put it all together. We worship you today, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Better than John 10, chapter something. So you made it from back there, huh?
Lots of candy.
You're eating. All the spirituality has gone out the door. Shall we stand? Accepting God's peace in your house, in your life, in your circumstance. How many are receiving a mission? How many can see what God wants you to do? How many have received the Holy Spirit? There you go. Oh, what a wonderful year you have ahead of you. What a wonderful opportunity to live with the risen Christ, with his peace, with his mission, and with the Holy Spirit. Wow, we're privileged, very privileged this morning. All right, so I'm letting you out now, right now, because you have 45 minutes before it begins to rain again. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed this Sunday morning.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like to see the service with the worship time included, please visit our Facebook page. If you would like more information about our church, you can check out our website at www.bbfoursquare.org.
This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.